And we can turn it around, or can we in time? Well, lots of people certainly think we must, and I'm among them, and so is Bill McKibben, as you just heard, and our next guest, Leslie Sheridan, is committed to that goal, too. A lot of people are, of course. I'm just kidding, but sometimes it seems like people went from problem, what problem, when it came to energy needs and climate change and water conservation. Mostly climate change is the best example I'm thinking about, went from what problem to, oh, it's kind of too late, isn't it? And where's that window in between where we can all do our best to turn it around? I mean, we're only talking about the future of the planet, survival of the species, you know, small things like that. So it is kind of surreal sometimes being in this age where we are now aware of our eco-challenges globally, and we're trying to do our part in whatever line of work many of us do, and yet sometimes it still feels like an uphill battle, and the recession certainly didn't help, and yet there is a green lining in that dark cloud, and that is to try to take all of our skills individually and collectively, those of us who are tuned into what's going on with our planet, and try to make a difference and kind of retool our work model and our companies and our services and say, how can I take my skills and my passion and apply it in a green way? And I love interviewing people who are doing just that all across the spectrum in so many different industries. And Leslie Sheridan is someone who's been working as a corporate consultant, and she decided to go green. I'm going to find out about her story and what it's been like as she, like so many people, struggle to make a living and have purpose and meaning and do good while they're doing well. Welcome to the Green Front, Leslie.
Thank you, Betsy.
I don't know if you got a chance to listen to Bill McKibben in the last half hour, but I just love that guy. People who have been around, you know, long before this movement was popular, who have stayed the course and not wavered, especially someone like Bill, who is just so logical. You know, you can't argue with him. He's a great spokesperson and leader for this movement, as many people are. Tell us about your company, Planet Sense, spelled C-E-N-T-S, and why you thought it made sense, S-E-N-S-E, to go in a greener direction with your company.
Well, I think that a lot of people, organizations, are looking for ways to go green, and especially those that know that going green actually saves green, and the research shows that resoundingly. And so what I've done is put together a group of solutions and products for businesses, corporations, and municipalities across the globe who are seeking to incorporate green solutions into what they're doing. Instead of following the old line of greenwashing, which they are finding out that given the age of the internet, gets busted pretty quick and really save some money and do the right thing for the planet at the same time.
So Planet Sense is a division, a green division of your company, The Added Edge. Is this a division that you think is the added edge in terms of what you're offering to companies because you have, I guess, a history of environmental awareness and concern and knowledge?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is definitely the added edge. And as you said in your last segment, you know, we are really being supported by the planet. And if the planet is not here, we're not going to be here.
Funny how that connection doesn't seem to be as obvious as it should be.
Exactly.
People still, you know, have the sound of sort of altruism. Well, yes, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, or, you know, yes, I recycle, but that's about all I have time for, as if it's going to make a difference if nature doesn't notice.
Exactly.
Point a phrase that I heard recently, which made me laugh. It was Eric Pooley, who wrote a book on climate change, and, you know, talking about all the politics and horse trading going on with the Senate trying to pass legislation on climate change and failed. And he said, "Well, all I know is we need legislation that nature's going to notice." So that's a good tagline, I think, to use.
Absolutely.
How can you? Are you trying to convince companies to go green, or are companies, you know, finding out about your services, or is it an uphill battle just to market yourself since this is a relatively new area and this is a difficult economic time for consultants, I would imagine, of most stripes?
Yes, it is definitely an economically challenging time for consultants, and that actually was one of the impetuses for starting Planet Sense, which was my main business. I found, like many other consultants, that people are just not hiring consultants. Was in a job search for some time, finding that most major corporations are not hiring seasoned people, and then most green businesses that you want to work for can't afford you. So being one to take lemons and make lemonade, I said, you know, I think it's about time that I finally get my work life and my personal passion on the same page. I've been a long time activist, particularly in the environmental area, and decided I'm going to partner with many of these cool green companies that I'm coming across that many companies and municipalities might not even know about, and put together a smorgasbord of sorts of partner companies whose products and solutions I represent, and go out and introduce them to corporations, businesses, and municipalities.
Now, there are so many new green products and clean tech companies. Do you cover the gamut, or give us some of your favorite examples of, you know, the kinds of companies that deserve to be promoted? They really have breakthrough products or services that are greatly needed.
Oh, I have a number of different solutions, some of them that are things that people may have heard of and other things that are very market-leading, very revolutionary, that I can almost guarantee that someone has not heard of. And those include things like air purification technology, which eliminates bacteria and viruses, including H1N1 virus, influenza A, biodegradable plastic bags, which biodegrade within 20 to 36 months. I have the only biodegradable food storage bags in the world. Biolubricants and colloidal products, which are biolubricants, cleaners, biodegradable fungicides, pesticides, herbicides, bioremediation products and biosolutions. One of my partners in that particular area is actually helping with the Gulf oil spill that you mentioned in your last segment. Their technology is actually helping to clean up the spill in a biofriendly way. They also have something that will increase crop yields by 400% while decreasing fertilizer and pesticide use from 50 to 100% using only one-third of the water, which is just an incredible thing. I have energy-saving technology for computer peripherals and electronic devices, which includes surge protectors, charging stations, which turns off your electricity, phantom electricity that is stealing electricity without you knowing it. I have fabric technology, which prevents the spread of bacteria, staph, E. coli, and MRSA, which can be customized to almost any industry or use, whether it's the restaurant industry, the hotel industry. It's particularly pertinent in hotel situations with bed sheets, bed pads, etc., hospital settings, restaurant settings.
Bed bugs, though, that seems to be the
Yes, it does kill bed bugs. Actually, due to the nature of silver, silver is actually woven into the fabric, and due to the nature of silver, it actually kills bed bugs, microbes, bacteria, etc. And the really cool thing from an environmental standpoint is that unlike traditional sheets and linens that are made of regular fabric, this particular fabric does not need to be washed in hot water. So you think of the hot water heating bills that are out there at facilities like hotels and hospices and hospitals that are constantly just cranking up the volume on their heating, and they don't need to do that anymore with this particular technology, because these can be laundered in cold water and save people a lot on their energy bills. And speaking of energy bills, I have two different lighting partners. And LED lighting is like the absolute way to go. It is the number one no-brainer that any municipality, corporation, business of any size should really be looking into to get rid of its conventional fluorescent lighting, because not only is it healthier, but you can save a lot of money. The LED lighting consumes 50 to 75% less power than fluorescent lighting. And one of my lighting partners, interestingly enough, love this when the underdog does this, just beat out GE Sylvania and Philips at the International Lighting Show for a Platinum Award.
And there was just a news story this week about how the lighting industry is going to be growing hugely. The efficient lighting products, of course, getting the bulk of the business, let's hope, and we're expecting, as people become more aware of the environmental and ecological and economic costs of wasting, you know, energy with light bulbs that are blazing in rooms that are not occupied, for instance.
Absolutely, absolutely, and especially organizations or municipalities that are having the lights on most of the time. Those are the ones that are really going to reap the benefits of
lights
LED
on
lighting.
Lights on buildings overnight or car lots, you know, blazing lights overnight when they don't have to be on. Those are the kinds of changes we're beginning to see, but hopefully we'll see more of that. You know, buildings where there's nobody, lights are on, nobody's home, nobody's
absolutely.
Home. We just can't do that. I mean, I see a light on, whether it's in my, you know, own home. Daughter leaves 3 lights on when she goes into the other room for an hour. You know, I just see coal-fired power plants, you know, pumping out, you know, CO2 and pollution to keep lights on. And if we could get everybody to see an unused, you know, appliance or light that was, you know, left on, computers, stereos, whatever it is, even, you know, Stairmasters, things like that, there's even that vampire effect. So from the small energy electricity that leaks out when it's not in use to just, you know, lights blaring when not needed, there's a lot more we can do. We do waste a lot. We're still, you know, world champions, we Americans, at wasting, you know, resources, including precious energy, most of which is still not coming from clean, green sources.
Exactly, exactly. That's very true.
You talk about benefits for companies on your website, you know, being they're going to save money. They're going because they're going to increase their, you know, their profit if they're not spending as much money on things like electricity, and they're not wasting as much paper and resources by being wiser. Also, time and isn't a big part of it. And then, yes, last but not least, helping our planet, which is of course helping ourselves. This is our only home. Last time I checked. But isn't it also about integrity and not only employee loyalty but customer loyalty? That if all things are equal, or maybe even if the green product is a few cents more money, isn't it something that can really, especially as there's all these new products entering the marketplace, you know, once people try something, if they like it, they're bound to come back. So it seems like that is really, that green edge should be, you know, substantially part of the motivation.
One would think so, and I think it certainly is. Unfortunately, it's been misused by many corporations who are into greenwashing, and many companies that are out there that are greenwashing, who are calling their product green, and it's not green. And I think that, you know, one of the great things about the Internet is that the time has come where full transparency is right there on the Internet, which, of course, is why some of these companies out there are trying to keep us from getting full transparency on the Internet, and the whole net neutrality issue is going on. But I think that some of the wiser corporations are finally realizing that in the age of full transparency in the Internet, it's really time to do the right thing, and it's time to end the greenwashing.
Yeah, can you spell Yelp?
Yes.
Go to Yelp if you want to check anybody out, you know. There's
exactly.
Uncensored, you know, reviews and critiques, and it's a good thing. It really is.
Well, I have a partnership I have two services currently that are associated with my PlanetSense business at www.planetsense.com. And one of those is actually a wonderful organization called consumerchange.com. And this organization provides reviews of environmental practices of B2C businesses, and businesses can also use that as a way to communicate over the issues of sustainability with its buyers and customers. And customers can use it as a way to communicate with these companies about sustainability and how happy or unhappy they are with what that particular company is doing. So that's a really nice partnership that just folds really well in with what PlanetSense is doing as well.
Mm. And, of course, Bill McKibben was talking about his road trip, put solar on it, trying to get the Obama administration to put solar panels that President Carter put on, President Reagan took off back on the White House. What do you think in terms of solar? Do you think it's a realistic option to, there's no silver bullet, a lot of buckshot, but that seems to be really one of the better ideas as long as we can raise demand and bring, you know, prices down. It's symbolic, but I think it's time to really make it more than that. What's your view of solar?
Oh, I totally agree with you. I think solar is definitely the way to go, and I just, you know, there are some good news stories out there if we look for them. And I remember going to one of the first solar shows about 5 years ago in San Francisco, and it was a little postage stamp of a show that was put on, and it was all of us, you know, preaching to the choir, all of our choir, our tribe.
Oh, yeah.
on this planet, the people that already have been on this for a while. And what really was wonderful this year is I just recently went to the Inner Solar Show, which was unbelievable, and it amazingly covered three floors of the Moscone Center, so where there were three entire ballrooms.
And
full.
What's on top of the Moscone Center on the rooftop? Solar panels. It's the
exactly.
first convention center to go green. And they have solar panel shows there. So inside and outside, they are walking the talk. That's San Francisco. So, you know, it shows you what can be done as a model, and hopefully as San Francisco and California goes, so goes the rest of the nation.
Exactly. And one of the things I had a lot of fun talking with some of the trade show exhibitors about, and I was there actually for two full days speaking with the exhibitors. It took me to get through the three floors of the Inner Solar Show was, you know, you're in the solar business and you're out there telling your prospective customers, hey, we're in the solar business, whether you're into the solar mounting or you make inverters or whatever you make. What are you as a company doing to show that you are walking the talk from a green standpoint? And spoke with them about some of the solutions and products that my company offers as a way for them to think about being able to differentiate themselves from all of the other people who sell solar inverters, all of the other people that sell rack mounting or carport solar systems or whatever aspect of solar was involved. And it was very amazing because resoundingly the majority of them were not doing much.
And that's people who would go to a solar show. If that's the crowd you're talking about.
No, these were the exhibitors at the show.
The exhibitors
themselves. So I was speaking with them saying, okay, so you're in the solar industry. What are you doing as a company to show that you're walking your green talk? And what are you as a company doing to show people that you have done things to differentiate yourself from all these other people that they could go to for rack mounting or inverters or et cetera. And resoundingly, the majority of them were not doing much.
So create competition among solar providers, you're saying, to actually see who's really walking the talk as a company?
Exactly.
So I guess some of them think just because that's their product, solar panels or solar thermal heating equipment, that's green enough. And you're saying, not necessarily. Or here's an opportunity. You can drill down, so to speak.
Exactly. And given my marketing background, I was speaking to them from a marketing competitive edge standpoint and getting them to look at, wow, how can we differentiate ourselves from all the other solar companies? Because the solar market right now is a very, very crowded space. It's become very, very crowded in the last few years. And so someone who's looking at going with solar, they're saying to themselves, wow, how do I choose among all these different solar companies out there? And believe me, there are lots of choices out there, and there are huge differentiations between these companies.
Friends have asked me, we had solar panels on our last home in Mill Valley. I wish we could take them with us, but that's one way to green the world, just put solar panels on and keep moving, right? But saving up for a set on our current home, but we had it done by Solar, let's see, now I'm forgetting the names. It'll come to me in a second. But they're big. Real Goods. Real Goods? They were one of the original solar providers, and they have their base up in Hopland, California. And I was recommending them because they did a nice job with mine. And then I've been talking about Solar City because they've really come up with a great new model. I've been on the green team of our synagogue here in Marin County as we've been renovating and raising money to build over the last 8 years what sounded like a lone voice pretty much in the meeting, you know, coming from me 8 years ago. Well, we need to build a sustainable synagogue and starting with solar panels. Well, we just rechristened, I guess that's not the right word for a temple, but we just reopened the new building. It is green in terms of the fabrics and the energy efficiency, the lighting. We don't yet have solar panels. We're going to wait for a year, see what our usage is. But I went to the, you know, committee in charge of budget for the remodel, and I said, you can't say no anymore because it won't cost us anything out of pocket to have SolarCity put on panels that are leased. That's really a breakthrough model, I think. And as far as I can tell, haven't used them yet personally, they really seem to be, you know, what they say they are, which is a great affordable way to put more solar in the world and not have your bills be any higher.
Absolutely.
Sorry, that was a long story, but it's an example, you know, just right in my own backyard of how, you know, over the years that we were planning the synagogue, there started out there one or two providers, and now there's more than I can keep up with. And that's a good thing. Some of the, I guess, the old-time, like Real Goods, old-time solar companies might feel the heat, so to speak, from all the competition. But I say when it comes to, you know, having more green products and services out there, we can't get enough out there soon enough. So the good ones will survive, and those that are not as perhaps green as they say they are, that is one way to get a good edge, will perhaps not. But I wish them all well. Hope everybody sticks around. And it is hard to keep up, and that's a good thing.
Exactly.
So
exactly. And it's interesting that I'm actually in conversations right now with someone who is kind of a solar coach, and it's really kind of a new category of job category, and I loved meeting
solar
this
coach.
Guy. He doesn't
coach.
Call himself a solar coach, but basically he's acting as a solar coach because the solar market is so crowded that companies are finding it's very difficult to separate the wheat from the chaff. Who's going to provide me what I need? You know, do they have the background that I need, et cetera, et cetera. And so what he does is he's very agnostic. He doesn't have agreements with anyone, and he comes in basically to find what provider is going to be best for that particular organization. And basically acts almost like an ombudsman. And he and I are in conversations right now about a potential partnership because I can see where he could be very helpful to some of my corporate clients and municipalities that are really not wanting to spend a whole ton of time wading through this on their own, but they really need somebody on their side of the table to help them through that decision-making process.
And there's a great company I have to promote. I think it's Solar Richmond is their name, or something close to that, Richmond Solar, Solar Richmond. They came in and worked with us at no cost. They're a nonprofit, and they advised us on what, you know, they looked at our energy bills. This is a synagogue again over the last 2 years prior to the demolition renovation beginning, and they made suggestions about, you know, what model would work best, and they came up with a solar city type model, leasing panels. That would be the only way to really make it affordable for us, since the upfront cost to put panels on a large, you know, high use building would be prohibitive, especially during a, you know, building campaign. And they did a fabulous job, and it didn't cost us anything, so I highly recommend them. And they, part of the deal is whoever you end up hiring, if you do go solar, they provide their staff who are young people looking to retrain themselves, and they are, you know, the ones who actually install the solar panels, so it gives them experience, and you know, happy, it's creating green jobs is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. They're great organization.
For those of us who are trying to keep our green jobs, at least make them more sustainable financially, and many of us are women, let's spend a few minutes, Leslie, because we chatted off air about the opportunities for people in general, but women especially, in your case, a single woman trying to really make a viable, sustainable living while doing good. And certainly the problems are there. Lord knows, there's more eco challenges than we can keep track of on so many fronts. And yet there's people who are underemployed, unemployed, looking to, you know, to find something for the rest of their working life. And there's an opportunity here. And the challenge is how to take one's skills and turn them into something that is needed and that will, you know, pay the bills, keep the lights on, so to speak, you know, for some time. And this is not a fad, by the way. Anyone who thinks so, just check my inbox every day to see all the problems we're facing. This one's not going away. We're not reversing the threats to the ocean and our climate anytime soon, especially as Bill McKibben points out, we're well over 350 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere. We need to stop that growth of CO2 and reverse it. So, yeah, it seems to me that should be a business opportunity for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yeah, it definitely is. And for me, it was really about getting my two lives on the same page. And, you know, especially with the economy just devastating my main business of 15 years. And, you know, in my case, I actually had to move to a cheaper place to live, being a single woman. And I don't think that this is unique. I think there are a lot of single women that are in this situation, especially in this economy, if they've been self-employed. And I think you just need to trust and go out on the skinny branches and know that if you're pursuing your passion, or like Joseph Campbell said, finding your bliss and pursuing your bliss, that the rewards will come, and trusting that the universe will follow through on that for you, and take
any
that leap
now.
Of faith. Yeah,
any
take that
now.
Leap of faith. Absolutely. And so I'm really counting on this getting out past the tribe, so to speak, that already knows about what's going on, and really to the people who are looking to save some time and really partner with someone who has spent some time finding some great companies that have some wonderful offerings that are truly green and that can also save them green on their bottom line as well.
And while the tribe is growing, thankfully, it's still a relatively small number of Americans, just percentage-wise, who are really embracing green. They may, you know, be somewhat aware of it, maybe doing things like recycling, maybe driving, you know, more fuel-efficient car, but there's still so many, you know, out there who consumers, and I don't even like to call them consumers, citizens, Americans, trying to, you know, learn what can I do, and then there's even more who still don't even know there's a problem somehow or choose to not look at it. It seems to me there really is an opportunity to educate, to consult, to help guide the way, and we're all learning, by the way. None of us are experts because it's new territory, but it seems that those on the forefront of various green sectors, you know, across many industries, should be gainfully employed by now. I think that I vote for that to happen. And maybe we can get a group of people organized to help, you know, strength in numbers sometimes really helps to aggregate all of our individual skills and maybe, you know, have a green resource thing. Maybe that's already being done with Green Jobs for All. I know there's green jobs organizations out there, but not enough, apparently.
Yeah, there are a lot of green jobs organizations that are out there and green resources that are out there, but I think it does need to grow. And one of the services that my company provides is actually to help provide funding to companies that are in the green space or not even in the green space, but are really requiring some startup angel round or expansion funding that are doing some good things to create some new jobs, et cetera. And so I have a partnership with an investment firm that does just that, and saw the need out there in the marketplace. Just one green company that I was talking to after the other that was saying, you know, we don't have enough funds and we need more funds. And I thought, somebody's got to help solve this problem.
Well, yeah.
And I said, I don't come from an investment background, and I'm certainly not by any stretch of the imagination a financial person. But I said, you know, I'm just going to reach out and see if I can find somebody who might be able to help with this problem. And that's what I've done. So that's another aspect of what Planet Sense offers.
Yes, and what my piece of this big picture is, my passion is providing a platform for all of you green innovators out there, and let, you know, folks know the challenge is getting the audience beyond the green choir, and that's why my challenge is to get onto a mainstream, you know, network of some kind where people can happen upon it, can come across a green show even if they didn't seek it out online. But in the meantime, it's great to be on the Progressive Radio Network. I want to thank them for providing this space at no charge to me. It's all voluntary, and they're a nonprofit, and they're great in getting progressive ideas and programs and people out there on the air. And I want to thank you, Leslie Sheridan, for what you do. And people can go to your website at PlanetSense, that's CENTS.com, to find out more.
Yes, they can. And thank you so much, Betsy, for what you've done both here on Progressive Radio Network as well as prior to that on Air America, because you are one of the true giving pioneers that makes the space for all of this to come together.
Thank you, Leslie. And I just want to be able to continue my work and pay the bills, keep those efficient lights on. And, you know, it's not just a challenge for single women. You know, most, you know, married couples, parents have to have two incomes to survive these days. So let's let the green folks, people who are doing green work, get that edge, that green edge, by providing something that is of service to so many people. And it's an opportunity. So let's look at it. Let's end on a positive note.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Betsy.
Thank you, Leslie Sheridan. Hope you've enjoyed this edition of The Green Front, starting with Bill McKibben, one of my heroes, and Leslie Sheridan, a new friend who I hope to be working with in some capacity in the future to share the green knowledge. Go out and have a great week. Make it a green one. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.